Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Mike Silver reports that with the John Harbaugh dismissal with the Baltimore Ravens, and if you're just joining us, yeah, John Harbaugh has been fired by the Ravens. And you missed the whole part where Dibs went, no. Not Harbaugh.
Yeah, anything but Harbaugh.
No. Harbaugh. For real.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah, so that's the way it went.
Oh, no, babe.
Yeah, babe. So he gone. And that now there might be teams who currently still have their coach who might jump in on the firing of coaches.
Ooh.
Because of the availability of John Harbaugh.
Domino, mother jumper.
Exactly.
That's what that is.
So in a sec, we could play a little bit with who those teams might be. And no haters, the 49ers are not one of them. Okay.
Possibly.
No, I don't think so. Anyway, Vinny in Modesto. Hi, Vinny. Thank you for calling. What's up?
Hey, what's up, fellas? A couple things that I was going to just kind of pick your brain on is the 49ers season, in a nutshell, is once Warner and Bosa went down and then Michael, I kind of was like, I don't think we're going to make the playoffs. And now to be in the playoffs, I'm excited about that. But I'm looking at that game against the Seahawks for the number one seed, and I was like, man, we just don't have it. And it almost felt like that Ravens game a couple of years ago where McDonald was the D coordinator and it just kind of stifled the 49ers, a couple of turnovers that didn't go our way. And I'm like, looking at it, and Willard, you said it a minute ago, Bess, is like, this is a week-to-week league, and I'm watching that game. Like, how do we put up three when I just seen the Rams drop 38 on these guys in their home arena a couple of weeks prior with Stafford throwing like 450 yards and three touchdowns? I'm like, how is this the best defense of the NFL? Like, why do we look like this? And I know Trent and Ricky being out is a huge thing, but that's not a 30-point difference. So it's like, what the hell's going on? And I just feel like that one drive where we're going down, and I think Kyle did kind of get Brock out of the pocket and was making some down-the-field throws where unfortunately the CMC bobble leads to the interception. I'm like, maybe we might have found something, but I don't know. It's just, the season has been kind of weird. I don't think anybody really, once those injuries hit, I don't think anybody really saw us in the playoffs. So I think, what do you guys take for a 6-game winning streak that we were on coming into that Seattle game with a bunch of young guys, 3 games in 13 days, and you're talking about, they say it's a week to week, that game's in the past, but do you feel like that youth on that defense is that they might have been feeling themselves a little bit like, we got this. No biggie. We'll get that one seed. In reality, strikes is like, hey, a better team came out. These guys punched you in the mouth, and you didn't have a chance to get up off the ground and find your bearings. coming out of that, and now you're like, okay, reset, wipe all that away. You're in the playoffs, and now it's like you got to empty the clip every week because there is no tomorrow. You know, if they lose 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, you're like, we got a game next week. We can learn from it. We can go. But now it's playoffs, and you got a young defense. I know Salah's, you know, doing his best to keep everybody together, but it's like you got to let everything go. I think for me the exciting part was watching a couple guys, Demo, Upton Stout. You've seen a few guys in that second half making some big plays. They were leaving some opportunities for the offense. Just by that time, I think the 49ers offense was just so stuck and muddled that it just wasn't going to happen. It's like one of those things where, there's a fumble recovery. Guys, I think it was Gross Matos, lands yep. right on it, hits him in the face mask, and then you can't get it. And then the PFC bobbling. And I've watched football long enough in my life to know, okay, it's just not your night. But now looking at the Eagles game, I'm like, these guys got to be, you know, Salah's got to say, hey, look, there is no tomorrow after this. You empty the clip, you go all out, you make those tackles, otherwise we go home, and then you're waiting for the offseason to try to come back. So, yeah. I don't know.
So, Vinny, here's what I would
call,
say.
Vinny. There's a
lot of stuff in there. I'm going to sort of I'm going to reject, my opinion, I'm going to reject anything that suggests, because it feels like we've had a few suggestions already today, that the 49ers either weren't trying or they were holding back or they didn't feel like they really needed it. And so that's why it looked the way it looked. I didn't see it that way.
No.
And if anybody saw the take, I know it got thrown out on social media yesterday where I talked about how it didn't feel like Kyle Shanahan thought he could win the game. I just want to explain that a little bit further.
Well,
it doesn't mean that they weren't trying. I think that Kyle knew that they were at a deficit in a number of key matchups, knowing that there was no Trent Williams, knowing, maybe the Pearsall part of it. I could tell in his post-game commentary that he was not surprised that Brock Purdy was under duress the entire time. And therefore, I thought he called the game that way early. That's why he kind of, you saw a lot of quick checkdowns, get the ball out of his hands. They sort of like didn't run the ball before we even knew that they couldn't run the ball. And so that's what it felt like to me. But none of that translates to we didn't really want to win or we didn't try our best or, as he kept putting it, empty the clip. I don't think the Niners approached it that way. And I don't think that game has anything to do with the matchups that's coming up this Sunday.
No, nor does it have anything to do with the Ram game against Seattle.
Right.
And I'm going back to that game right here where Seattle was down 30-14 with 8 minutes to go, and they returned a punt for a touchdown, and they got the two. And then they scored, they got the two. You went to overtime, you scored, you got the two. So that game was just bananas. It's not that Seattle's defense was just terrible and porous. The Ram offense is really, really good. They're better than the Niner offense, even when the Niner offense is totally humming. So does that matter going against Philadelphia? Of course not. It doesn't matter. And you look at the game on Saturday where after the first quarter, the Niners had run six plays. Seattle had run 20. They were up 7-0, and it should have been 10-0, but they missed a field goal. So already Shanahan, who needs to be ahead, as I mentioned earlier in the program, earlier this week or this month, they're 11-0 when they lead at halftime. So that's the Shanahan blueprint. Get the lead, run the ball, run it, pass it, have an optionality to your offense, but they were chasing it from the get-go. And so even when you were trying to throw it, you didn't have time, you didn't have Pearsall, you didn't have Trent, so you didn't really have much of a chance to do anything really at all in the pass game. So that thing got away from them early, not because the defense was bad, although I do think that some of the younger defenders on the 27-yard touchdown run where Brown goes too far inside, Mustafa takes a bad angle, Charbonnet goes 27 untouched for a touchdown. Yeah, it's a young defense. That's going to happen, but when you have a Shanahan offense against a very good defense, you can't afford to be digging uphill.
I just think everything in life always has context to it. So, okay, how did the Rams score? I think it was 37 in the game against Seattle. You're right. First of all, they blocked. They blocked better. They also got a pick six on Sam Darnold early in the game, which puts Seattle down double digits, and now you have a completely different game. You have a Seattle offense that is going to be more risk-taking. You have a Seattle defense that's going to be more risk-taking. The Rams block well. That opens some things up. They've got Puka Nacua down the field, stretching the field, et cetera. Stafford has some time. You're able to score points. All of these things are a snowball effect. And the 49ers, and you can blame them for this, but they didn't achieve that. They didn't do that. They didn't get a lead, which opens up X, Y, Z. They didn't block well. They didn't create those opportunities for their offense like the Rams did. But it doesn't change who the Seattle defense is. The Rams were one of two teams to have kind of a score fest day on that Seahawks defense all year long.
And they lost.
Yeah. And they lost.
Yep.
Correct.
Matthew Stafford threw for 457.
Unbelievable.
And three. He was sacked a grand total of zero times.
There you go. They blocked.
Puka had 12 for 225 and two touchdowns. And so, Niners, you don't have an offensive line that good, and you don't have Puka Nacua. And I'm sorry to the president of Brockistan, Matthew Stafford right now is better than Brock Purdy.
Oh, I don't have a hard time with that.
I know, but you're the president. And I don't want you to lose votes in your possible reelection.
Like, I mean, they're completely different players.
But Stafford is 1-2, boom. Where's Puka?
And, right. Stafford is a more pure thrower of the football.
Yep.
Brock can do many things behind a line of scrimmage with his legs that Matthew can't do. One of them is old veteran. One of them is a young guy. I mean, again, that's a contextual comment that you just made.
And it's a contextual reference where the Rams threw for 457, three touchdowns, and they got three turnovers from Seattle, and they still lost.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we can talk about, 3 points. Brock, you must have stunk. Well, he actually was pretty good. The more I'm going through the game film, he didn't have much of an opportunity to do anything. And when they tried to run it, they couldn't run it. So you can't run it. And when you throw it, you've got your five eligibles against their seven defenders because they don't really have to blitz because their four are better than your five blockers. So what are you going to do about it with no deep threat?
I mean, Stafford, the week or 2 weeks before that, goes to Carolina, turns the ball over three times. They lose the football game. They lose the one seed because of it. And so there you go. Say that's the comparison I make. Do you then hear people go, oh, Stafford, stink bomb, you like not worth the money? Like, no, that doesn't, we don't do that. We don't do that. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Nick Friedell in an hour. We still have to argue about officials, but we'll do that a little bit later. We'll keep going on this. Do you agree or disagree with Baldy? The statement was, the Niners scored 3 points, but Brock Purdy played great. 888-957-9570. We're sponsored by Barry of Fast Track, Willard and Dibbs.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Are we boys or are you just trying to trap me, bro?
Shut up, bro. It sucked.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
You know, the guys earlier were doing the whole thing. Mike Silver reports that some teams that still have coaches might say goodbye to their coach because John Harbaugh is now available. Harbaugh fired by the Ravens. Reports already out there that John Harbaugh holds the Giants job and Jackson Dart in very high regard.
Oh, boy, already.
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 Who still has their coach that might be like, no, never mind. We'll take Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Who?
Tampa, perhaps?
I think Tampa was on. Grandy and Lucas were going. You guys went through some names. Tampa was on your list. I like that
one. Yeah,
I
threw out Tampa.
What was it? What were the other ones you threw out there?
Cincinnati and Dallas, potentially.
Possibly Miami.
Miami was the next. Miami was the next one that came to my mind. But I think, God, boy,
I'm wondering about Dallas. Like, Schottenheimer, he did his level best after they gutted his defense.
Schottenheimer is an offensive guy, and I feel like that they're mad at the defense.
Right.
They should be mad at themselves. The roster building is just an absolute joke.
Jarrah.
Yeah. But that trade that they made, you know, that's the first sign of life in, I don't think it was a good trade. Mike is a great player, but at least they build multiple players out of that and put them on the defense. So
I do like Miami because the word seems to be that they're going to find a way to get out from the Tua contract. So if you're Harbaugh and you're thinking, hey guys, if you can get rid of your quarterback, I'd love to take this job and, you know, I'll find whoever I can find to come in there and quarterback this thing.
Indy has already put their full faith in Steichen. Nothing's happening in the AFC West. The Jets are only 1 year in with your guy Aaron Glenn, although I think he had a horrible year.
Right, but they've already given him the vote of confidence.
Yeah, but
AG stays.
What the hell does that mean? You know what I mean?
It means you get one more year to not be so bad. And
maybe.
I was seeing reports that some of the higher draft picks are reportedly saying, "Yeah, don't pick me. I don't want to go be a Jets."
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. You know, Washington had a weird deal, and they moved on from Cliff Kingsbury. They moved on from their OC and their DC today.
Right.
So you're probably not going to do that and then turn around and fire your head coach.
Cincinnati is an interesting one because, I mean, Zach Taylor, you can only do what you can do with a quarterback who's always hurt and a defense that's non-existent.
And they did the vote of confidence there, too. They've already, you know what I mean? So those,
what if it
that's
was
probably the list?
Like, but what if it was Pittsburgh? If,
oh God,
I mean, just, you know, playing along with this bit for just a second. So Pittsburgh knocks them out. Pittsburgh goes out and loses in the wild card round. And then Harbaugh becomes the coach and Tomlin goes to do TV.
Dude,
that'd be wild.
But if I'm John Harbaugh, I'm going to do the same thing that I suggested to you yesterday, Robert Saleh should do. I'm not going to take a job if you can't answer. Who's my quarterback? And the Steelers can't answer that.
Yeah.
They can't. I mean, in fact, that might be the worst because you get a snooty, coach-killing 41-year-old.
R-E-L-A-X.
And even, I don't even know if you get him. You might get him for 1 year, but then if you do that, now you're in full reboot mode. And so you're starting completely over. It's no wonder. It is no surprise to me that John Harbaugh gets fired and it takes 53 minutes for the internet to be like, New York Giants, New York Giants. because they're the ones who have a young quarterback who looks good. The other really hot job is the one that just let him go because they've got Lamar Jackson.
Right. And I mean, they've gotten so close so many times. And, you know, you get to a spot where sometimes you have to just make a change and, you know, the relationship, whether or not it's the coach who is no longer being heard by the players or, you know, the players maybe aren't connecting with the coach and you get to that spot and you have to just kind of move on and part ways.
Yeah. I mean, I know that, you know, there are Niner fans throughout the last few years who sort of feel John Harbaugh-ish about Kyle Shanahan, which is, sure, we acknowledge, good coach, but it's not quite working. Like, it's not all the way over the top. Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh went to the playoffs almost every year. They should have gone this year, in my opinion. You know, Lamar got hurt for a bunch of games. They had some bad breaks early in the season. Tyler Loop missed a kick, and they found their way out of the playoffs. But it almost took, like, if you look at it from the reverse angles, like, it took a crazy parlay of things to happen for them to still end up just barely missing the playoffs. I think he's a really good coach. Lamar's obviously a great player. But the Ravens finally were like, look, this just got stale. I don't think the Niners situation is that. I certainly don't think with one off year, I don't think Andy Reid is in that situation. The McDermott one is interesting to me. The Zach Taylor one is interesting to me.
Right, right.
Those, you know, I don't know if they're stale, but
it's funny when you look at, like, what makes a stale year and you look at the Niners last year. Well, you had a bunch of injuries, including your quarterback and your bell cow running back, and you had the toughest schedule known to man with the rest differential and I think six teams coming off a bye and all the rest of it. So not to make excuses, but you could look at a stale year and go, yeah, I get it. Don't have another one. And they go 12-5.
Well,
so,
and yeah, this year they overachieved in the eyes of most.
So even Buffalo, like, they've not had a stale year ever, but they have stale Januaries. Mm-hmm. And maybe they're the ones who invented dry January because they get to January.
Yeah,
not that they're not drinking, but they're not drinking champagne after wins. So maybe that's where dry January was founded, because if you look at Buffalo every year, 10, 11, 12, 13, what do you want from us?
I'm so excited for Friday.
I can't wait.
Well, I can't wait to hear your picks. I want to give opinions, but I can't because, like, I feel like not that it's going to change your mind, but
right.
I don't want you to know what I'm thinking because I want to talk about it then.
And we can talk about it now. But
oh, that Bills-Jags game. Oh, my gosh.
I'm just looking at the picks right now, and Rams-Panthers, the pick is in. Packers-Bears, the jury's out. Bills-Jags, the jury's out. Niners-Eagles, the pick is in. Chargers-Patriots, the pick is in. Texans-Steelers, the pick is in.
Can I hear for a second just about your process? What does that mean, the jury's out?
Well,
you are the jury. You're right here.
Yes.
What do you think?
Well, when I look at Bills and Jaguars, I think
that's a great question.
Thank you, Doc.
I think about eight different things, and I haven't yet been able to go through really logically and sit down and figure out what's the most likely scenario to play out.
I'll tell you what. Why don't you not watch the 49er game for the 38th time?
I'm watching it.
And sit down with these other games and get your info ready.
Oh, we'll get there.
All right.
Because fade the Dibber. Y'all want to fade me. Seven in a row?
Seven in a row.
Seven games.
And never forget.
Fade.
The playoffs last year.
Oh, I schmidt the bed.
Which, let me think, what are they? There's 14 teams, which means there needs to be
games.
13 games.
I believe I went 3-10.
3-10.
Including a gutsy win in the bowl. It was a gutsy bounce back, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Eagles. Plus the points.
So last year in my pick'em pool, I'm sorry, last week. Not this week, but the week before, I went 2-14.
Yeah.
I had one of the worst weeks known to man.
Yeah.
This week, I went 12-4.
You're colder than a ski slope right now.
I'm colder than a witch's hip.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the exact expression, but
yeah, whatever.
We'll go with it. But
yeah. Okay.
Bills-Jags is an interesting one.
I have a very, very firm opinion about that football game.
You like the Jags. You like my guy, Trevor Lawrence, and I can't wait to talk to Mongo and again, wait patiently for his apology because my guy balled out this year, 13-4. Step off, Mongo.
Wait a minute. You just did what you said you hate it when people do.
I didn't say I hate it.
You can't just give the quarterback the record.
What I said is we all weaponize it. Like Guru today with Draymond Green and his plus minus.
Yeah.
I got Draymond as minus 64 for December. Okay. We weaponize it. Trevor Lawrence went 13-4.
Yeah.
Put some respect on his name.
I mean, okay.
Shut up!
Why can't I, like, if you're all going to schedule Sam Brock Purdy, why can't I schedule Sam Trevor Lawrence? Okay, he went into Denver and they won.
Yep.
Really, really impressive. All right. And then there's a bunch of Tennessees and a Jets.
Came to a hostile Levi's and won.
Well, no, that's, I'm going their winning streak. That was back when the Jags were 5-4 and then they never lost again.
Yep.
And the winning streak, the Cardinals are in there. Tennessee's in there twice.
Cardinals, not an easy place to play.
It's not.
Indy with a grandpa. I get it.
Indy twice.
With a grandpa.
Like,
was the grandpa? No, he wasn't in for both.
No, he wasn't in for both. But the Colts never won a game in the second half of the year.
Yeah.
They were a mess.
That was Riley Leonard.
Danny Dimes. It was the game Daniel got hurt in. Jacksonville is the team that knocked Daniel out for the year. So.
Yeah, schedule Sam.
I don't want to do that.
Plucky Jets team.
No, but I get, like, I'm just, that's a devil's advocate way of doing it. I'm not doing that to people and teams. I'm not going to do that to Jimmy Butler's Warriors. I'm not going to do that to Brock Purdy. And I'm not going to do it to Trevor Lawrence. If you win a bunch of games in a row, that means you're good. I don't care who you're playing.
Yeah.
That's the definition of good. Other team sucks. You beat them. You do it every week. You're good. You're good. What was Brock Purdy's record this year? 7-2? I don't want to hear. Oh, but the schedule. I don't want to hear it.
Wait, his record was 7-2?
7-2.
Their record was 7-2.
No, you just said Trevor Lawrence went 13-4, put some respect without a T on his name. You just did that.
I did that, yeah.
Brock Purdy, 7-2. Second best QBR in the league.
Mac Jones, 5-3. So they're Mac both Jones, a product of the system. I think I'm going to be the president of Macistan.
I might
be a small population.
I had an idea. You've been wanting to trade Mac Jones all year.
And I still do.
I got an idea for who your new backup quarterback's going to be.
I'm the Brock Purdy of the Willard and Dibbs experience.
Not true. You're the Mac Jones.
Yeah,
actually,
I mean,
not even the Mac Jones.
No, Grandy's the Mac Jones.
You're the.
I'm the Christian McCaffrey.
You're the Adrian
of this
Martinez of this show.
No, I don't get that many touches, like, so I can't be the McCaffrey.
Yeah, you don't get elevated to starter even when the starter's out.
I hate to admit this, and hopefully Grandy's not recording. I'm the Tonjes. See, like that. I just made a play. Come back to me in an hour, and I might make another one.
I was gonna say you're the Kyle Juszczyk.
Not bad.
I mean,
I like juice.
He's a Pro Bowler, though.
Right. Because
every year.
And I'll save it for Friday. He's a Pro Bowler.
He is.
You got to be careful.
How many fullbacks are there in the National Football Conference?
And he's the better one.
And this is where I feel for my brother, Lorenzo Neal, who was a 4-time Pro Bowler back when everybody pretty much had a fullback. So, Juice, yes, you're a great player.
He's a great player.
But you're a Pro Bowler. He's a 10-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
And he beat out whom?
I don't know.
Exactly.
Some
other really big guy who blocks.
Ricard. Yeah.
But Patrick, that's a different.
Ricard.
The AFC has its own Pro Bowl.
Yeah, look, if nobody uses a fullback, why do the Pro Bowl teams? They don't have to take
they
one.
They actually don't.
Okay. So there you go.
He's not out there lead blocking in a flag football game.
I don't know.
And hey, I wanted to ask him this, and just real quick, 20 seconds on this, but when we had Juice on, I wanted to ask him about all his Pro Bowls, because his first one was actually a Hawaii Pro Bowl. You know that, right? His first Pro Bowl was the old Pro Bowl in Hawaii where he played football.
I remember the Hawaii Pro Bowl.
So I wanted to ask Juice about all, like, what's your favorite format? Because he's been through literally all of them.
I remember I ended up in Hawaii one time.
Okay.
No. Like, it was a family trip, and no one was even thinking about it. And we get to Hawaii, and it's the Pro Bowl. And we're staying at a hotel, which must have been, I don't know if it had a contract with the league or what. I didn't know what the hell was going on. But it led to one of the more intimidating moments of my entire life.
Yeah?
Ray Lewis at the pool.
Oh, my God.
I was like.
You try to step to him? Yo, Ray, that's my chaise lounge.
You better be careful.
Seriously.
That's right. That's right. I was sitting there.
Yeah. Excuse me, sir.
Yeah.
Mr. Lewis.
Dude.
You better start stepping.
You know how some people just have the stuff that's just like coming off of them?
Dude.
Just like the presence. And then when, I mean, the man's in a bathing suit and that's it. And you just walk by and you're like, good Lord. People try to run by that guy.
No.
People try to block that. What are we doing?
Lo Neal took me to his Super Bowl party in Miami at Top Golf, and we walk in and Ray sees Lo and he's like, my guy. And I don't know if it was my guy, but like, get over here, mama, it's Lo Neal. So I follow Lo and I meet Ray.
There goes that man.
Ray's only about 5'11". Oh. Maybe at this point he's about 217, but look at him and it's like, my goodness.
My goodness.
You are all business.
I ended up in the check-in line behind Haloti Ngata.
Not a noti.
Like, oh my God.
He's only about 6'7", 358.
Haloti Ngata was like a nose tackle for the Ravens at the time.
Not a noti.
So maybe it was just the Ravens. Yeah, and then Granny loves this story because he's a Dorgan duck. But anyway, he and all of his boys had t-shirts on that said, not a chance.
Right.
That made me laugh so hard. This big dude in flip-flops. Thank you, Lucas. I can take it from here. Yeah. I can take it from here. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. My MacBook's about to run out of juice.
Okay.
So I had to call in for I had to call into the bullpen to get a little something. So talk for a second. You're always wanting to.
I'm just wondering if Helada Noti is in the Hall of Fame, or if he's not yet, I'm sure he will be.
I don't think so.
He's in the Oregon Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's a duck.
I mean, is there such a thing?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean.
Anyway.
Sure.
Anyway, 888-957.
Is your boy Brooks in the Oregon Hall of Fame?
Who?
Bucky.
No. The dirty NBA player. Isn't he in Oregon?
Dylan Brooks. No, not enshrined yet.
Oh, this is totally off subject. Did you see this on Twitter yesterday? Somebody was advocating a trade for, it was Boogie Cousins. Boogie Cousins went on ESPN, I think, and said that Dylan Brooks needs to be traded, and he had a whole scenario. I forget who they wanted or where he wanted to send him. And the actual owner of the Suns quote tweeted it. Matt Ishbia is like, no need to call the Suns. Dylan Brooks is not available. Dylan is going nowhere.
Oh, wow.
Suns ownership put that on Twitter. So they love him, even though the rest of the world hates him, except for Grandy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure his teammates like him. One of those guys that you love to play with.
I don't know that.
Well, you have some insight, so you could probably find that out.
Yeah, but I haven't.
Okay.
I could ask.
Yeah, I mean, depends on how things are going, but, you know, nice to have an enforcer on your team.
Anyway, we've been sitting here talking out Baldy's comments about Brock Purdy earlier, and I think that this is even, you know, your Trevor Lawrence comment, same thing. Like, right now, and I'm not going deep into a breakdown of the Jags and Bills, but the Jags are a more complete football team than the Buffalo Bills right now. The Jags are one of the best teams in the league at turning the ball over. So all of these things meet in the middle. And when one of the quarterbacks who, for whatever reason, here's the other thing I want to know. What is it that happens that sort of mints a quarterback? Because to me, what I hear, at least in my ear, I hear too much of it having to do with fantasy football. So let's leave Brock Purdy out of that for just a second.
Okay.
Why are Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson minted? What did they do in this world where, as you put it, we hang the wins and losses around the quarterback? What did Josh and Lamar do that has made everyone go, well, hands off, those are two of the three best quarterbacks in the game? What did they do?
they are special. And when you watch them, they do things that make you go, oh my God. And for Josh Allen, it's, you can't tackle him.
Okay.
He's a great running quarterback in his own way. He can make all the throws and he puts up big numbers and they're always good. They always make the playoffs and I'm looking, they've made it in 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, and 24. They're 7-6. I'm sorry, he's 7-6.
7-6.
In the playoffs, which is not great.
I mean, much smaller sample. Brock
Purdy.
But
you make it every year.
Brock's only missed the playoffs once.
Right, right.
Right?
And
four tries, three
fine.
For four.
Okay.
Okay.
And I think Lamar, similarly, and I don't have his playoff record in front of me. It's not as good as Josh's, but he does things that make you go, ooh, shout out CNC Music Factory.
No doubt. No
things
doubt.
That make you go, hmm.
But is that what we're actually looking for? Is that what we're, if we're going to hang wins and losses around the quarterback, Lamar Jackson's never even been to a championship game, let alone a Super Bowl, and Lamar missed the playoffs this year. Yes, hurt a lot. Like, again, don't take this conversation. I think they're wonderful. I think they're the two players that I would center a team around first. So I'm in agreement, but I'm trying to learn the rules. What's the marker? What makes someone, is it your eye test? You said they put up big numbers. That's fantasy football.
Right. Well, also like Josh Allen, they win every year, 10 games or more. They go to the playoffs
sure.
every year. That's good. That matters. And not everybody gets to win the bowl, but we're getting to a point where not quite yet, but Josh, you're going to need to win one. This is now year 7. And your 7th trip to the offs, one of these years you're going to have to break through.
So you love golf. Let's take
Jared or the sport?
No, golf. Yeah,
okay,
golf
yeah.
with an L. Let's take what you just said, and I know you'll get this right. What would we say about a golfer who does exactly what Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson do?
Yeah.
They are the...
You make a lot of cuts.
They are the best to have never won a major.
Right, Ricky Fowler.
Okay. So, like... Usually in sports, if you've got a player who performs really well every regular season, but then the playoffs don't go well, like that becomes a source of frustration and often criticism, by the way. This was
yeah.
Barry Bonds forever, by
forever,
the way.
Yeah, he was terrible
Barry
in the playoffs.
Barry Bonds, it was like this choke artist.
Until 0-2.
Right. And I know, especially Josh. Josh has lost some football games in the playoffs where you're like, he played great.
Right.
He played great and they lost. So I understand that aspect of it too. I'm exploring here.
Part of it though, and I like the exploration, but part of it too is the expectation of Josh Allen versus Ricky Fowler. Like Ricky Fowler is never going to win a major, but he was never considered one of the three or four best golfers in the world. He was a top 10-ish guy. He was a guy who was...
most talked about, though. Most
fine, but
recognizable.
But he wasn't Phil. He wasn't Tiger.
Yeah.
When it was Tiger and Phil, and
sure.
even at the tail end of Vijay Singh, who won a bunch, and Ernie Els, he was never up at that level. Allen is, and Lamar is. So that, to me, is the one tweak in your analogy, which I liked, but I think when you look at Josh Allen, highly drafted, Lamar Jackson was a late first, but a guy who, oh my God, he can do everything. And now, by the way, he's gotten a lot more accurate as well. So this year was weird because he was hurt a bunch, but
he didn't have his superpower this year.
Right. But Josh Allen, he's had the superpower. The problem with Buffalo is their defense is mid at best, and you know, they haven't been able to put it all together at the right time to get over the hump.
Yeah. Yeah, his receiving core, like he just doesn't have that many playmakers either. Love James Cook, but no NFL team has been centered around the performance of one player the way Buffalo has been centered around Josh. That's one thing that I would actually give him as a compliment, because they do usually win, but they don't win in the end.
Yep.
And I don't think they are going
to
this
Buffalo
year
is one of four teams this regular season to do something that the other 28 teams did not do.
What's that?
I'll share it on the other side.
Oh, that's exciting. Okay, so that's coming up, and so's this. Actually, we very, very rarely use callers as a forward promote, but I don't know in my career, you and I have been in radio for a long time. I don't know if a caller has ever gotten on the air by telling a producer what this caller just told our producer.
Ooh.
That's
a good question.
Well, but I'll share what he said now, and then we'll take the call coming up. But someone just called Lucas and wants to get on the air because, quote, these guys are talking too much.
What? we're talking too much?
He cannot be that guy.
I'm hesitant to answer.
I told him that was your job.
Ooh.
I can't wait to talk to him. I've never been so excited
I can't wait to listen to him. I'm not saying a gosh darn word to that guy. I've said too much already.
Unfortunately, I am contractually obligated to say that we're brought to you by Fremont Bank.
Ooh.
It's here for you, here for good. I would do it in sign language, but I don't know how. It's Willard and Dibbs.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Oh, I hate hearing that.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Ooh.
All right, so what was the little thingamabob that you had there?
This year, four teams did something that the other 28 did not.
Okay, four teams did something that the other 28 did not.
Yes, and historically, teams that do this thing, since Shanny took over the Niners, 20 of the 28 made the playoffs in the year they did that darn thing.
That's quite a little riddle.
Yeah, it's not too in-depth or complex.
Did all four of the teams who did it this time, are they in the playoffs?
No, three of the four.
Three of the four in the
Washington
playoffs.
Washington did it. They did the thing, but they wound up 5-12.
Washington did it. Is it something that they did during the season or they've done since?
No, all season. It's a compilation sensation is what it is.
Okay.
Of the stats.
Wow.
Philly did it last year, and I make reference to it all the time, and then they won the Super Bowl.
Philly did it last year.
And they did it.
Hire a bag boy to stand next to the coach?
I resent that. I'm more of a bodyguard than a bag boy. I'm Big Dom.
That's my guess. That's my guess.
The answer is run the ball more than they had pass attempts.
Oh, got it.
This year, Buffalo, Seattle, and Green Bay. And then also Washington. And if you look at the context of Washington, they would rather not throw it. And like last year, Philly did it. They won the whole thing. Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Washington, Green Bay, they all did it. They all made the playoffs. So it's a little chicken and egg, as we like to talk about, where if you're a good team and you lead, yeah, you run it more. But last year, Philly ran it 621 times, and they threw it 448, which is the most dramatic split that I can find since the Shanahan era. And this year, like Seattle, 26 more runs than passes. Buffalo, 52 more. And it had me thinking about it because Josh Allen, where you've got a great running back and you've got wide receivers that you don't really love and you've got a big rugged quarterback who can run it. And so as we look at the Jacksonville game, if Buffalo's going to win, it's going to be Cook and Josh running the ball.
Buffalo is totally misunderstood. If you I find it to be very interesting to dive into Buffalo's analytics because people go, ooh, Josh Allen, they've got a great quarterback. They throw the ball down the field less than any team in the history of ever. Like their average depth of target is so low. Like it really is a college style offense or a high school style offense where they're just like, Josh, here, go do something. Just do stuff. And then we'll see what happens. And he runs around and twirls around and, you know, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't and all of that stuff. And they've struggled against the really good defenses. Houston held them down. Philadelphia held them down. Just a few weeks ago, they only scored 12 points in a big game. So anyway, 888-957-9570. Nick Friedell is going to be on in just about like 25 minutes or so. And so we're going to get to some Warrior basketball. I found something. I've successfully like calmed myself down a little bit. But like,
thank God I saw your tweet last night. I almost called in sick.
You know what? You should have been actually more excited to come in. To either defend your point. Or like, let's talk about this because I find what happened in the Warrior game last night to be the officiating version of the defense letting you get 19 yards on 3rd and 17. Like, it's just, you can't do this, but hang on. We're clearly talking too much. Let's go live to Rick and Palo Alto.
And that's on me because I talk too much in general, so I need to dial it back a little bit.
Not me. Anyway, let's go to
hop.
Rick and Palo Alto. Rick, boy, the floor is yours.
Okay, first of all, I agree with your producer, Lucas. You guys, this is your job, okay? Talking is your job. But more to the point, Willard, I think what I've heard over the last hour and a half, 2 hours, is your take on the 49ers. I've been a 49er fan for 50-some-odd years. I followed Walsh and Siebert, and I also design football for my players at Foothill. One of the things I want to mention is there are two disciplines going on in football. There's a coaching discipline, and there's a player discipline. And when you look at it that way, within 2 minutes, when I put on the 49ers and the Chicago Bears, I saw Brock Purdy under the center, and he was doing RPOs. I called my friends who bet on FanDuel or every kind of secondary betting. I don't bet. They do. And I said, change your bet to the 49ers. The 49ers are going to win this game. And they did. The same thing happened with Seattle. When I saw Brock Purdy in the shotgun, I called my friends. I said, they're going to lose. And the reason I'm saying that is because some of the opposition I get is, Brock Purdy can see the receivers better. Well, that's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is the defense sees everything. And so that's why all the receivers and backs were covered to catch a pass. When I called everybody that I said, bet on the Seahawks because the 49ers are going to lose, and boy, did they. And so I'm saying one thing. It's Kyle Shanahan's take, and I agree with you, Willard, that he was a little afraid of the Seahawks, so that's why he went into the shotgun, and he thought it would be better for Purdy. I thought he would change it at halftime, and he didn't. So, the reason I'm saying that is because Kyle Shanahan is an excellent, excellent coach. I'm not putting him down. I'm just saying the real discipline here is the understudy and the understanding of the coach. The coach didn't – he could have changed it at halftime. His player got beat up. The whole game he got beat up. I'll let you guys talk.
Well, Rick, actually, before you go,
Rick,
I have a question for you. You sound like you know some football. You can't be making it as simple as if Brock Purdy's under center, the Niners win football games, and if he's not, they don't. You're not saying that, are you?
No, not generally, but I can say within a few minutes who's going to win the game for the 49ers playing anybody, because Brock Purdy is, you saw what happened against the Bears. He was able to get out of the pocket. He'd do an RPO with McCaffrey. He could do with whoever, Robinson. And so the secondary, whoever the Bears or the Seahawks would have been, the linebackers, the secondary would come in. And so Brock Purdy was able to get out of the pocket and find a receiver or run himself. That didn't happen in Seattle or against Seattle.
But, I mean, do you give any nod to, like, one of the things you're talking about was against the Bears. The other thing was against the Seahawks. Like, you're making them sound like they're equal things, and if the Niners had done the same thing, they'd have the same result.
We won't know that until they try. And I called my friends and said, if the 49ers get if Brock Purdy gets under center in the second half, they could win. And if they didn't, they were going to lose. And that's a fact.
Well, I don't think that we can say that that's a fact. And by the way, I think when you say RPOs, you actually mean...
That's a stat.
You mean play action, because you don't do RPOs from under center. That's usually a play that you would do. Thank you very much, Rick. You would
and
do
Niners
that out of the
don't
shotgun.
Don't do a lot of RPOs.
They don't do
anyway.
An RPO. I don't know that I've ever seen Brock Purdy run an RPO.
No, they ran some read option last week, yeah. And he ran it beautifully. And I'm looking at the 4th-and-1 play that we've all referenced where... He was under pressure, and they ran play action, and he was under center. So that was a play run under center that actually didn't work out. Pistol, shotgun, under center, hurry up, 4 wide, triple tight end. I don't know if any of that would have mattered, because on all the snaps I'm looking at for the 4th time, the majority of them, Seattle was just better in the trenches.
Totally.
And better in the secondary.
Yeah, and like the one thing I like about Rick's take, even though I think that the RPO thing is mixed up, and I don't think you can ever say, if you had done this, you would have won, and that's a fact. No, we're not, as human beings, I have no idea what would have happened if something that didn't happen was tried. I don't know what the result would have been. I can agree that I would have loved to see Kyle Shanahan try some other things a little earlier than he did, because they did find a rhythm there in the 4th quarter, and it was a little bit too late because it didn't end up with points because the ball bounced off of Christian's hands and all of that stuff. But I do like that at least what Rick is trying to do is go a little deeper into the conversation. That's really my only point today. I would love to see, and this isn't just about Brock, it's about all quarterbacks. I would love to see, when we watch a football game, instead of just attaching, and I think you've made the same point, instead of attaching a win or a loss, and instead of simply attaching a point total to the quarterback, let's talk about what was available, and then what did they do with what was available. What was available against the Bears? A lot.
Yeah.
What did he do with it? A lot.
Yep.
What was available against the Seahawks? Very little.
A little. Yeah, some.
And what did he do with very little? Very little.
Yep.
But there's a difference between that and then, for example, what he did against Carolina. What was available against Carolina?
Some. Yep.
What did he do with it?
Not a lot.
Very little. He messed up. So that,
only 3 times in 8 plays.
Right. So, like, okay, the president of Brockistan, I'll give you that one. That was a poor performance. Don't call the game against Seattle a poor performance. It wasn't a poor performance. It was a great performance, but it wasn't a poor performance. Very little available, and he did not make major mistakes in under duress. But there wasn't a lot available, and so they didn't get a lot.
And if you want to grade him on a curve, along with every other player who took an offensive snap, and you did a test out of 100, let's just say that Brock had like a 60 out of 100, but based on the curve, that was probably right in the middle or toward the top of the middle. Like, who on offense played well enough to where you'd go, yep, that's an A performance on the offense.
Yeah, I don't
offensive
I don't
line. I don't know. Like, Juszczyk had some good plays. Kittle, he didn't have any drops, but he didn't have any room.
Right.
Juwan got busted up a few times. Your various Robinsons made a few plays when they got the opportunity. Nobody on offense played well.
Correct. Nobody was like, I don't know if anybody was like offensive. You know, Christian had the worst play, the one that we saw.
Right.
But and I think a lot of the offensive line struggled. You know, they struggled to do their thing, and that's ground zero. They're the first ones. Like, you, that's the first line of defense. You got to do that, and then all the other stuff becomes available. And they didn't do their job.
And I do think that you have to tip the cap to Mike McDonald and what he did when he was at Baltimore. He did similar things where he confused Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan. They beleaguered the offense. They generated turnovers, which they only did here with one turnover. But he's kind of been a little bit of a kryptonite for your boy Shanny. He's at his number now.
Actually, I can unfortunately give you a different name that might be the kryptonite.
Is it Vic Fangio? Lord Fangio?
Four times. I don't think Kyle's gotten to 20 points yet. Four times.
And he's one of the all-time great defensive coordinators in the history of our game.
And he, again, has a talent edge this weekend.
Yeah, he's got horses.
So, yeah. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco on Odyssey Sports Station, the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.